we may turn and consider as the Lord will enable us, words you will find in the part of God's word read. Gospel according to John in the 3rd chapter. We may read again at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We have brought before us in this part of God's word the Savior's dealings with the Pharisee Nicodemus. Part of God's word. Consider as the Lord will enable us, words you will find in the chapter of God's word read, the book, the epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. And we may read again from verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not a subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The apostle, in writing to believers at Rome, has to encourage them here at the beginning of this chapter. He is declaring, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is a glorious truth that is he revealed, that those who are in Christ Jesus, who are united to him by a living faith, that they have been delivered from condemnation. And such are described in the same verse as those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We could see that the apostle, in writing in this epistle and in this part of the epistle, goes on to declare concerning the children of God. He was persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What encouragement there is then throughout this part of God's word for those who are the true children of God. Yet in this chapter also he distinguishes between them and those who are not the children of God. As he says of them in the first verse, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is a mark of those who are the true people of God, they do not any longer walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit, because they have been delivered from the bondage of sin and of corruption. They now walk in the ways of truth and upright. He comes on to speak in this part of God's word of the carnal mind, under which sinners are in this world until they are delivered in the mercy of God. We would seek to notice first of all what is declared here concerning the carnal mind. Then that is that it is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Then secondly, what it is to be under the carnal mind, under the power of the carnal mind. He says, for to be carnally minded is death. And last of all, what he contrasts to that, being under the power of the carnal mind, and that is being under the power of the spiritual mind. He is to say of that, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It is very clear from the word of God that we must be under the power of one or other of these two, either under the power of the carnal mind or under the power of the spiritual mind. And if we are carnally minded, well, that is death. But on the other hand, if we are spiritually minded, then that is life and peace. First of all, we may notice then what is declared in the seventh verse here concerning the carnal mind. It is very clear from the word of God that when a man came forth from the hand of God, the carnal mind had no place in him. As a man was created by God, he was created in knowledge and righteousness and in holiness. There was no power of the carnal mind there, but he was under the influence and power of the spiritual mind. For God breathed into Adam's nostrils, and Adam became a living soul. Soul that was alive to God, a soul that was dead to this world and to the things of this world. There was no sin in him. There was no sin in our first parents as they were created in the beginning. And there was no inclination towards the sin at all. For man was created in the beginning only with a will to do that which was good. This is the revelation that is given to us in the word of truth. What a glorious being man was, and what a high state he was created in the beginning, having a fellowship and a communion with God, because he was under the power and influence of the spiritual mind. Man then was a living soul, a soul alive unto God. What a blessed state and condition for one to be in, to be holy and altogether under the power of the spiritual mind. The spiritual mind reigning in them altogether. Surely being created in this way, we would have expected that man would have continued in that state, never departing from God, but ever enjoying the favor and fellowship of the God of heaven, ever enjoying living communion and fellowship with God. Man then knew what it was to be holy under the power of the spiritual mind, and to have nothing in him or in our first parents of the carnal mind. Sin had not entered then. It was not until sin entered that man came under the power of the carnal mind. While that was the state of man at the beginning, that is not the state of man now, and it was not the state of man our first parents in the beginning, whenever they sinned against God. What they enjoyed before, they lost the moment that they sinned against God. This is how what man became when he had sinned against God. He came under the power of the carnal mind, and no longer under the power of the spiritual mind. Man became holy darkness and death. In the moment that our first parents sinned, they lost communion with God. They lost that fellowship that they had before in the enjoyment of God. They were now possessed of another mind. The mind that they had to begin with was a mind that delighted in God and delighted in the things of God, and had a spiritual and holy and blessed rejoicing in God. But when the place was given to sin, then man came under the power of the carnal mind, and that was the end that Satan had in view when he tempted Eve in the garden of Eden, to bring man down from that lofty and high place which God had placed him in when he implanted in him the spiritual mind. The end of Satan was to bring a man under the power of the carnal mind, that is, the worldly and fleshly mind, the sinful and depraved mind that man is now under, as sinful and lost and fallen and ruined. Man came to be under the power then of the carnal mind. when he departed from God, that is when we came under the power of the carnal mind, for we fell in Adam. It was in Adam we sinned in the beginning, and we fell with him in his first transgression. Therefore, our beginning in coming into this world is not the beginning that Adam had when he was created under the power of the spiritual mind, but we come into this world under the power of the carnal mind, wholly directed by the carnal mind, which has possession of all the faculties of our soul. Therefore, all the members of our body are directed to evil and only evil continually, because we are under the power of the carnal mind. Let us notice then what is brought before us here concerning this carnal or this fleshly mind. We are told that it is enmity against God. We know that when man was created, there was a perfect harmony then in the creation of God. Man was at one with his Maker, and the heart of man was filled with love to God. He loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not so as fallen, not so as under the power of the carnal mind, for the carnal mind is enmity against God. What a change took place when Adam sinned, that in a heart to fear there was only love to God, now there was a heart in which there was only enmity against God. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. Man is filled with enmity and hatred to God. However, men may cover that up, however we may seek to hide that this is the true spirit that actuates us as we are, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Yet this is what is true of every one of the children of men, as fallen and lost and undone, that they are under the power of the carnal mind, which is enmity against God. How low man has come to be found an enemy to God, because at enmity with God, in opposition also to his law. For we are told of the carnal mind, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind in man will not submit to the law of God. Whatever outward appearance of submission to the law there may be amongst men who are still under the power of the carnal mind, yet it is very clear from the word of God that it is only an outward appearance, and that at heart there is only enmity in the heart of man to God. man displays that enmity by the transgression of the divine law, not being subject to the law of God. God has given us his law, a perfect law, the law of the Ten Commandments. That is a perfect rule, the moral law. Here we have a rule given to us by God, and we assure that the carnal mind is reigning in us as we go on in the ways of sin and of death, as we transgress the commandments of God. We are showing our rebellion against God and against the law which he has given to us. All of this stems from the carnal mind, which is enmity with God. This fallen nature that man now possesses, as estranged from the living and true God. How little we understand of how fallen we are as fallen creatures who have departed from God to this extent that we are in our minds at enmity with God, because under the power of this carnal mind, this fleshly mind, this mind that is enmity against God, which is not subject to the law of God. Men may try to bring their carnal mind to obey the law, but it cannot be, because the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God and will not be subject to the law of God. As long as man remains under the power of the carnal mind, it is the only evil that he shall do. As long as we are left under the power of fear, the carnal mind, we will go on in the ways of sin. For what the carnal mind delights in are the things that belong to this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, that is native to the carnal mind. And that is what is in us by nature. And that is what will remain in us unless we are delivered from the power of the carnal mind. We are not to think that we can change the carnal mind from what it is, for it is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. There is no use thinking that we can change that natural mind, that carnal mind which we are of by nature. It cannot be changed. It remains the same. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. What estrangement there is between God and man, what a separation has entered in when spiritual death overtook our first parents, when they became fallen creatures. where before holy and righteous and delighting in the service of God, now alienated from God in the spirit of their mind, so that when we come into this world, born in sin and shapen in iniquity, we are born into this world already alienated in our mind from God. This carnal mind is in us and is reigning in us. This carnal mind which is enmity against God. There, when we are born into the world, it is from that carnal mind that we need to be delivered. For if that carnal mind is to reign in us and continue to reign in us, then the end of that must be everlasting death. Let us go on to notice then what we are told here, being carnally minded. To be carnally minded is death. That is what is true of all men by nature. All are carnally minded, fleshly minded, worldly minded, without thoughts and our affections tied to the things of earth and to the ways of sin and evil. To be carnally minded is death. That is what overtook our first parents. When they sinned against God, they became spiritually dead, without any spiritual life in them at all. That is how it is with us by nature. We are spiritually dead, born in sin and shapen in iniquity, born carnally minded, the carnal mind reigning in us. And to be carnally minded, we are told, is death. Spiritual death is reigning there wherever the carnal mind reigns. There is no spiritual life there where the carnal mind is reigning. How do we manifest that we are carnally minded? Surely it is by our attachment to what is earthly and sensual and devilly. It is our delighting in that which God hates that shows us to be carnally minded. And on the other hand, we show it by having no delight in the things of God, in the things that are spiritual and in the things that are eternal. That it tells us that the carnal mind is reigning in us, and that carnal mind is death. It is the spiritual death to be a carnally minded. The soul has no delight in God, no delight in the revelation that God is giving of himself in his word. The carnal mind will never delight in anything that pertains to the glory of God. The carnal mind, which is death, can only delight in earthly and worldly and sensual and evil things. To be carnally minded as death. We are dead in trespasses and in the sin. The apostle was bringing this before the believers at Ephesus. This is what they were before the grace of God visited them. They were dead in trespasses and in sin. They walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom, he went on to say, among whom also we all had our conversation, or our life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. To be carnally minded is death. Under the power of the reigning power of spiritual death, having no spiritual life in us, estranged totally and altogether from the things of God, even when we may be reading the Word of God, or having the Word of God declared to us, yet dead in our spiritual, dead in our minds, because carnally minded, we are spiritually dead. It is from this that we need to be delivered. From this death, this spiritual death, or this death will ultimately result in eternal death, which is the wrath and the curse of God throughout the eternal ages. In the ways of sin and in the love of sin, if we go on under the power of the carnal mind and are not delivered from it in the mercy and love of God, then there is nothing before us but the blackness of darkness forever. What need then for poor sinners to be delivered from the carnal mind, which is enmity against God, which is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. If the soul is to be delivered from the carnal mind, it is not by any change coming in the carnal mind. For the carnal mind remains the same. Soul needs to be delivered from the power of the carnal mind, reigning in the soul and continuing there without a change until the soul is delivered in the mercy of God and there is implanted in the soul something very different from the carnal mind. And that is the spiritual mind. We need to be delivered in the mercy of God from the reigning power of sin and evil. We need to be delivered by the mighty power of God, for it is only the power of God that can change us, bring us from that state and that condition in which we are by nature. Bring us to be different from what we are. Change us so that instead of having an appetite for what is worldly and carnal and sensual and evil and devilish, we would have a mind for that which is good, that which is glorifying to God, we cannot make ourselves better, for the carnal mind is not improving. It is not getting any better. It is only growing worse and worse. So that we are more and more exposed to the wrath and curse of God by reason of the reigning power of sin within. This carnal mind, which is enmity with God, dwelling in us and having the power and dominion over us. From its power and from its dominion, we need to be set free by the almighty power of God, by the implantation of a new mind, a new nature, that in the kindness and love of God, for that is contrasted with the carnal mind, which is death, another mind, that is the spiritual mind. The spiritual mind, we are told, is life and peace. Could we get a greater contrast than these? One being death, the other being life and peace. Surely that is what we ought to desire for ourselves. That great change would be wrought in us, which would deliver us from that death under which we are by nature, that spiritual death, that carnally minded state and condition, so that we would be brought to be of those who are spiritually minded, which is life and peace. What hope is there for any sinner to be delivered from the carnal mind, to be brought under the power of the spiritual mind? There is no hope for sinners but in the gospel of God's grace, the revelation that God is giving of himself in Jesus Christ, who came in order that poor sinners who were in bondage to the carnal mind might be set free by the rich grace and mercy and love of God, by the power of the Spirit of God, in a day of God's grace and mercy. Christ came to redeem a people from their sins, to deliver from death, from spiritual death, and from eternal death. If we are to be delivered from the power of the carnal mind, it can only be through the application to our soul of redemption purchased by Jesus Christ. For this is one of the benefits and blessings that are bound up with the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, deliverance from the reigning power of sin and evil within, as well as deliverance from the guilt of sin and the condemnation of the broken law. There is revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ deliverance from the reigning power of sin and unbelief. That is deliverance from the reigning power of the carnal mind, which is enmity with God. It is to the Lord Jesus Christ, then, We are to look if we are ever to be delivered from under the reign of sin and death, to be brought into the liberty of the children of God. For this is the liberty wherewith Christ sets his people free. He sets them free from the dominion of sin, from the dominion of the carnal mind, so that the carnal mind no longer reigns in them. There is implanted in the soul the spiritual mind, a new heart and a right spirit, so that the soul might delight itself in God. That is the revelation that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only way whereby sinners under the power of the carnal mind, under the bondage of sin and evil, may be delivered from that bondage, brought into the liberty and light of the gospel, to have a delight in that which is spiritual and in that which is eternal. If we are left to ourselves, we must go on under the power of the carnal mind. We must remain sinful and brutish. We must remain fleshly minded, worldly minded, carnally minded. Only the power of God can effect this mighty change, delivering a soul from under the reigning power of sin and unbelief, bringing that soul to saving belief of the truth, and to embrace those things that are spiritual and that are eternal, the revelation given to us in the Word of God of Jesus Christ as a divine, almighty Savior. Without this great work being wrought in us by the Spirit of God, the application of the redemption that is in Jesus Christ to our souls and consciences in a day of God's mercy and grace, we will never be delivered from the carnal mind reigning in and over us. We will go on in the ways of sin. But where the Lord implants his grace in a soul, that soul is delivered from the reigning power of sin. The carnal mind no longer reigns in that one. But that soul has a new nature, a nature implanted by God himself. That is, say, the spiritual mind that we have here, a mind for the things of God, a mind for God himself. Christ came to restore man to a state of blessedness, to a state of reconciliation with God. He came to give life to man spiritually dead, to impart spiritual life to them. He paid their redemption price in the one offering that he gave of himself on Calvary. He died in order that sinners might be set free, that they might not continue under the power of spiritual death. None have ever been delivered from under the power of spiritual death and from the carnal mind, reigning power of sin and evil within, but in and through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the almighty deliverer, who is the Savior of his people, who gave his life a ransom for many, who paid the redemption price, that in the pouring out of his own blood on Calvary, because sin deserves eternal death, Christ must bear the wrath and curse of God in the room instead of the guilt, if they are to be set free, if they are to be delivered from the carnal mind, have implanted in them the spiritual mind. Where the spiritual mind has been implanted, in such the things of this world appear different altogether from what they once were. It was upon the things of this world and the ways of sin and evil that their soul found delight. Now their soul finds delight in those things that are spiritual and that are eternal. The gospel of Jesus Christ, thing that the soul could find no delight in before, the soul now finds delight and wonder and glory in the finished work of Emmanuel. And that is because they are now possessed of the spiritual mind. There is in that soul love to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. For they have been brought to set their love upon him, given a heart to love him and to serve him. It is not the things of this world that are the chief things with them now, but the things of God, the worship of God, the service of God. They are now spiritually minded. They have the spiritual mind reigning in them. And that spiritual mind delights in the things of God and delights in God himself. This is what the soul is taken up with. Not what is temporal, but what is eternal. Not what is carnal, but what is spiritual. We are told that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Only that soul is alive, which is taken up with the things of God, which is swallowed up in the love of God and in the revelation of his grace and mercy and love in Jesus Christ. Such have a spiritual life. They are no longer dead spiritually. They are alive spiritually. Alive unto God. Oh, no doubt those who are spiritually dead would say that they believe in God, but all the while they know him not. It is when the soul is led into the wonders of divine grace and mercy and love, the soul is brought to see the glory of God, and that revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. God, the apostle could see, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That surely is spiritual life, to have such a knowledge as that. For to be spiritually minded is life and peace. They only can be counted truly alive who are alive unto God, and who are alive unto the things of God, and who find their delight not in earthly things, but in those things that are spiritual and that are eternal. The living soul is taken up with the revelation that God has given of himself in his beloved Son. Christ is precious to the living soul. For to all who believe, he is precious. Christ is a precious Savior, and that to every living soul, so that they are alive unto God, alive unto eternal realities, the things of death, the judgment, and eternity are not unreal, but they are real to them. All that is revealed in the Word of God, that is real to them. For they have become alive to the things of God. The spiritual mind is reigning in them now. And that is life, and that is peace. Only such a soul knows what it is to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The soul that is brought alive in a day of God's mercy and grace, and tastes of the love of God and the mercy of God, and tastes of the sweetness of pardon and peace through the blood of the everlasting covenant, and has, say, an exercise of soul Godward. It is such a soul that is spoken of here, that is spiritually minded, and that is life and peace. What peace is there to the soul that is carnally minded? There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked, as long as we are under the power of the carnal mind. There is no peace there. We are at war with God. Here is a soul reconciled to God, soul that has laid down the arms of rebellion against the God of heaven, and is in willing subjection to God, to serve the Lord in newness of life, not in the oldness of the letter, serve the Lord in spirit and in truth, walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Carnally minded are taken up with the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit are the things of the Spirit. What is true of those who are spiritually minded? It is true of them, as the apostle brings before us here, that they are indwelt by the Spirit of God. They are also led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. They have the spirit of adoption. crying, Abba, Father, calling God their Father, 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 they can see of him to whom they have been reconciled in Jesus Christ. They are indwelt by the Spirit of God. They are the children of God and heirs of everlasting life. Not only made spiritually alive unto God, but heirs of that inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, that is reserved in heaven for them. Is the condition then of the children of God one in which they are holy and altogether under the power of the spiritual mind? Or is there within them the remnants of corruption and the working of the carnal mind? That is very clear from the word of God that it is so. In the previous chapter, the apostle was speaking in this way. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. He could say, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. The remnancy of corruption remain in the soul of those in whom the grace of God has been implanted, who have been brought upon savingly by the grace of God, and in whom is the spiritual mind. In conflict with that spiritual mind, there is the carnal mind, no longer reigning there in the soul, but is still there in the remnants of corruption, in conflict with the new nature. For there is a new nature implanted now, and that new nature is in conflict with the old nature, and will ever be until the believer closes his or her eyes in death. There are, as it were, two companies within the soul, fighting in conflict. The spirit against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit, making the apostle cry out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He was carrying about with him a body of death, the remnants of corruption of the carnal mind, and the spiritual mind that was in him, implanted by divine grace, that was in conflict with the old. When he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? As though he was dragging about a dead body with him, as he went about, he had to say, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the law, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There were the rising, say, of corruption. And so it is in the experience of all in whom there is this new nature. Rising, say, of the old, corrupt, sinful nature, in opposition to the new nature within. That conflict will go on, shall go on until it will be extinguished at death. Or the believer will not take that old nature, or the remnants of corruption, beyond time into the eternal world. Then the soul will be made perfectly sanctified in the day of death. Then the conflict between the old and the new nature will be done forever. The soul will have only that new nature, reigning and reigning forever and ever in everlasting glory. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. May the Lord add his blessing, let us pray. O Lord, do thou give us understanding the things that concern thy kingdom and thy glory. Do thou deliver us from the carnal mind which is enmity with thee. Do thou put the spiritual mind within us in a day of thy mercy and in a day of thy grace, that we would be delivered from the power of sin and evil, brought into the way of uprightness and truth. Do thou come for our deliverance sake. Stir up thy strength and might, and to look upon us each one in mercy. Thou knowest our great need of thy grace and of thy help. Do thou do in us and for us exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Guide us with thy counsel. Take away all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. We may conclude singing in Psalm 19, verse 7 of Psalm 19. God's law is perfect and converts the soul in sin that lies. God's testimony is most sure and makes the simple wise. The statutes of the Lord are right, do rejoice the heart. The Lord's command is pure and doth light to the eyes impart. Unspotted is the fear of God and doth endure forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They more than gold, yea, much fine gold, to be desired are than honey from the comb that droppeth sweeter far. These four verses from verse 7 of Psalm 19. God's law is perfect.